So one of the things that we've been talking about, and let me put these over here, is for those of you that can see, one of the things I wanted to mention as we get started, we've been using this illustration of the pitcher with the dirty rocks, the dirty insides. We've been referencing this because I think it's super important that we get a really good reminder weekly that this process of what Jesus is calling us to about prayer is not an instantaneous thing. It takes time. And there's got to be an investment. So for me, one of the things that I wanted you to see is that, let me move these over here so maybe you can see a little bit better. I did something a little bit different. In the past, what I've done is, because of the way we're using the illustration, is I pour the fresh water in on Sundays. This week, what I did is a little bit different change because of what we were talking about last week is I poured the water in and then poured it out six different times, representing the day. So today would be the seventh. And so one of the things that I want to just mention real quick is that when I'm just doing it once a week, as I pour it in and as I pour it out, it depends, but it can be super dirty. The crazy thing about what I was able to observe is doing it six different times is that the first two times were even dirtier than what they've been on Sundays when I've been doing it. But by the third, fourth, fifth, and especially the fifth and sixth time, I was amazed at how the level of clarity in the water changed. And so this morning, the pouring of the fresh water, I believe that prayer is super purifying in our lives. And so some of you that you've been like me, that maybe you've grown up in a tradition to where that a lot of your pursuit of trying to get victory over a problem, a struggle, and an addiction, an issue in your life, that besetting sin that you struggle with, what you've been doing, maybe you were like me, that for a lot of your life, you were focusing on the thing that had a stronghold on your life. And so you were trying to best that. You were trying to remove that. You were trying to empty yourself, deny yourself. You were trying to get that out of your life when you and I have been taking the wrong approach. Because the way that I have seen supernatural transforming change take place in me is not me trying to work on myself and address that issue, but by me filling myself with the presence of God. And there's two simple things. God's word is transformative, but prayer is even more powerful and purifying than what we really understand on a natural level. So for me, even if you look at this morning, yeah, there's still junk in there. But I want you to see that as there's regularity, there's an even more intensive purification process. So I want you to keep that in mind as we jump into what Daniel was reading just a few minutes ago. And let's think about verse 12 together this morning. And I want to focus on the verse that we discussed during our last lesson together. Give us today, this day, our daily bread. There's no doubt in my mind that we are to be a people that are expressing our hearts in the secret place of prayer before the Father daily. This is a daily exchange. This is a daily prayer. We are to be talking and seeking and asking and praising and evaluating and listening and so many other things with our God, but it needs to be on a daily basis. J. Vernon McGee says this about daily bread from verse 11. Now, I want you to notice this petition for a moment. It is a wonderful petition, so simple, yet one that should come from our hearts with great enthusiasm. It speaks of our utter dependence upon God, our bodily wants, our physical necessities, all are supplied by Him day by day. So I want to ask you, how often do you pray in the secret place? Any type of prayer is a step in the right direction, but I'm not asking you about giving thanks for your food, even though I heartily encourage gratitude for daily bread. I think that it's important for us when we gather to express our belief, our dependence, and just say thank you, God, for the food. Now, depending on your family situation, you may be asking God to bless it and transform it, but I'm just saying you can be thankful at the same time. Danielle, you know what I'm saying. I'm not talking about prayer before you fall asleep while you're laying in bed, even though I recommend focusing your heart and mind on God before you fall asleep. Some of you have expressed over the last couple months, Pastor Tim, I feel so guilty when I fall asleep praying. And my response to you, sometimes you kind of look at me like, really? I'm like, but isn't that the best sleep? I mean, like when you fall asleep and you're like, but I didn't make it through my prayer list. I'm like, God knows that. That's cool. But you got partway through your prayer list, didn't you? And then there's something beautiful. So I'm not denouncing that. I affirm that. I think that that's some beautiful prayer. But what I'm asking about is that secret place routine that's a part of your existence, a daily focus, sometimes maybe more than once a day. Now, I want to mention, and we've got some up here, that we've had multiple people that have been getting this book, and we've had several of them that have gotten in. If you would like to get one of these, I highly recommend. Some of you have been going through this book, and you would agree with those of us that have been going through that it's a transformative read, because it's a man that is still alive, and you can't write from his heart what he's writing without understanding the power of the secret place. So if you'd like to get one of those, please, and order your own. It is an amazing, amazing devotional that will help your prayer life. It's important this morning for us to focus on the daily practice aspect as we embrace Jesus' example to pray daily. Please hear me when I say this, to pray daily about forgiveness. Now, I want to note that this upside-down kingdom is only experienced. We are only here. We only have hope. And as we're going through this upside-down kingdom conversation and looking at the scripture of the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, I just want to remind you that this upside-down kingdom is only possible for us through the process of forgiveness. That's what the real basis is. It's forgiveness. And I just want to mention that it's important that we understand that one of the reasons why it's better to call this the disciples' prayer instead of the Lord's prayer is because the Lord didn't need forgiveness. And right here at this juncture, it says that we should be focusing on understanding forgiveness on a daily basis. Let me read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 in the New American Standard Bible. It says, be kind to one another, be compassionate, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. It's important to note that forgiveness operates and is the most powerful, please hear me, in the realm of sin. In the majority of the passages in the Bible that contain the word forgive or forgiveness, sin is mentioned right alongside in the text because sin needs forgiveness. Let me read you several versions here. Matthew chapter 12 in the Expanded Bible says it like this. Forgive us for our sins or our debts, just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us, our debtors. Sin is pictured as the debt that's owed. In the Common English Bible, it says it like this. Forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. In the Amplified Bible, it reads like this. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. Debts or sins or moral failures is what it's focusing on. The word debt in the Greek means that which is owed, which denotes both debt and sin. Metaphorically, an offense or sin. Debtor in the Greek means the one who has not yet made amends to the one whom he has injured. There's so very much to evaluate and consider from learning to apply the concept of debts and forgiveness. What I want you to consider this morning is the importance of this process in each and every one of our lives. We have people that have wronged us. They've sinned against us or are in debt to us for various reasons. How we respond in our minds and souls matters to God, it matters to us, and it matters to other people. We must wrestle with these deep issues of the heart, soul, and mind. I want to just say that I believe the larger consideration this morning is the motivation that each and every one of us should have in regards to this whole issue of forgiveness. Because forgiveness is made possible for us this morning through the sacrifice, and we believe the ultimate payment for us to be forgiven through Jesus Christ our Lord. God the Father created this mind-boggling supernatural plan so that we as human beings could be challenged with and yet understand and taste of forgiveness. Now, please hear me this morning. When we're talking about this whole issue of forgiveness and debts and debtors and how you're gonna apply that, please hear my heart this morning. There is no way that we can begin to do a deep study, because from the beginning of the book to the end of the book that we call the Holy Bible, there's all different nuances and things that we need to begin to understand and put together for us to have a balanced approach on this. So I want you to understand that my focus this morning, I believe that if we begin to understand the importance of forgiveness in our lives, that will help us as we are praying daily about forgiveness. God, through the Holy Spirit, will open our eyes and illuminate our hearts so that we can begin to understand how does this specifically apply to me personally day by day. I want to just mention again that the upside down kingdom is only experienced through forgiveness. Let me say it another way. Our heavenly citizenship that we've been talking about for months is made available through the process of forgiveness. Forgiveness is offered at a great price, and forgiveness must be received from God by grace through faith because of Jesus. Forgiveness is not earned or merited or a reward for good deeds. That's not forgiveness. The purchase price to pay our sin debt was beyond our ability of investment. Think with me about that. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to be reading in the New King James. We're going to read verse 21 through 35. So what I think is very important, and if you go and if you begin to read, forgiving and forgiveness is one of those things that if you begin to do some study, you're going to find that there's not just this blanket definition. Well, I want to know what forgiveness means in the Bible. So you get this like, and there it is. You're not going to find that, because it's so deep and so encompassing, and it affects so many different areas. So I just thought it'd be good for us to go back and look at what Jesus said and get a better taste on what he's explaining about forgiveness. Verse 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? I like Peter. It's like, yeah, one for each day of the week. Done. Yeah, that's righteous. Can I get an amen? Nope. Jesus threw a wrench in the plan. Okay. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Man, that was a deal breaker for expectation. Some of you are sitting there with a stone look on your face, trying not to be. You get exactly the connection here. You feel what he's saying. You feel what's going on. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, I love when he says this upside down kingdom, all that we've been talking about on the Sermon on the Mount, he says this kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. His servants or his slaves, those were that were underneath his tutelage, his ownership. And when he had begun to settle the accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, let's just say big chunk of change. Can we just say it that way? Mucho dinero. He owed him a lot. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. It's reasonable. Dude, you got a debt? You got to pay up? It's time. Okay? Look what happens. The servant, therefore, fell down before him, humbled himself, fell on his face. He said, Master, have patience with me. He's pleading with him. He says, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him that debt. Do you realize what's going on here? He's a shrewd businessman. He's in charge of a lot of things, but the servant falls on his face before him, and he has compassion on him, and he says, okay, man, all right. He forgives him of the debt. He removes that penalty. He says, okay, I get it. I understand. I'm going to have compassion. Let's read on. Verse 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. So we got a huge amount of money that was owed, and then we got a little bit of money that was owed. Okay, but it's the pecking order here. Are you following the pecking order? And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Do you see the difference in the scenarios here? The one has fallen on his face. The next guy, he didn't even give him a chance to respond. He grabs him by the throat. He's being aggressive. And look at what it says. Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant, look at this. Repeat. Fell down at his feet. And he begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay his debt. So when the fellow servants saw what had been done, let me just remind you, you may think that you're doing stuff in secret, but there's more people watching you than you realize. Just a little footnote. That one's a freebie right there. Just put that in the freebie section. Threw him into prison, so his fellow servants saw what he'd done. They were grieved, and they came and they told their master all that had been done. Gave him the whole scoop, told him the whole story. Then his master, after he called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. I think that we need the Holy Spirit to open each one of our hearts individually and apply this truth as need be this morning, because he does a much better job of knowing each and every one of us than I do. Forgiveness should be a daily concept in our secret prayer time with Father God. I would venture to say that most of us in here this morning don't daily open our hearts up to the concept of forgiveness. Not throwing stones. I just get it. What I've learned in my life and what is being reinforced is that the process of prayer is very purifying and enlightening. Talking to God daily about a subject matter like forgiveness and its application, just as Jacqueline was talking earlier about Victory 127 sponsorship, it's amazing that when I go to God and I'm praying about an issue that I'm struggling with about forgiveness, guess who gets changed first? Me. Because I'm regularly bringing this before God and I'm opening myself up and I'm saying, God, I don't, and if you could hear me pray a lot of times, I'm glad you guys can't sneak up and hear me praying in private because you'd think he is a lunatic, okay? He just confirmed that because I probably sound a little schizophrenic because I'm really struggling outside of myself because I pour my heart out like David did and I say, God, you're asking me to forgive and I don't want to. It's not even fair. And then I give him the list of things that have been egregiously done to me in some cases, and especially when I was younger, and I'm like, I can't even believe that you would ask me to forgive this person. This is not cool. And Alza, just let you in a little bit on this particular situation in the prayer time. This went on for weeks on end, and it only went on for weeks on end because leading up to the point where the Holy Spirit had started tapping on me, I wasn't even open. My heart was full of hatred and bitterness and resentment, and I was so founded on my stance because I had not done anything. This was something that had been done to me. I didn't ask for it. I didn't ask to be put in this situation. And so then when the Holy Spirit began to draw me and want to help me gain freedom in my life, I was absolutely resistant. There's absolutely no way I'm doing this. This is ludicrous. This is crazy. And he kept tapping on me. So over a period of weeks, but I began to talk to him about it. And I began to pour my heart out. And I would say, God, this is stupid. This is crazy. I was angry. I was frustrated. But the whole time, as I kept talking to him, he was working on me. Eventually, my obedient step of faith was, God, I will place this person in your hands. I don't want to, but I'm going to say he is in your hands and I will forgive him as you give me the strength and I want to live in freedom. God, you help me. And then I wept uncontrollably for probably 30 minutes. Because you might not think that sounds very submissive, but that was my way of yielding to him. That was my way of giving in to him. And there was a bigger part of my heart that began to heal more than I could even understand. And over the next several months, he continued to help me with the healing and the forgiveness process. Years and years later, when I got the call that my birth father had died, I was not full of vengeance. I was not full of anger. I was able to grieve. And I was able to take steps that needed to be taken because that had been dealt with years earlier. But for me, without going into detail, that was one of the most difficult issues of forgiveness that I had ever had to face in my life up to that point. So if you think you know something about me and you say, Pastor Tim, you don't know what I've been through and you don't understand, well, let me just say back to you, you don't know what I've been through. So you don't know what I understand. But what we can understand together is that Jesus is asking us to pray this way for a reason. Because it matters. I want to conclude with this encouragement, challenge, and admonition. However it needs to be presented to you this morning. Study, pray, and have a conversation with somebody mature about forgiveness. Don't assume a posture that places you in a position of bondage or discouragement. And I will say this, that there's a lot of misrepresentation about the concept of forgiveness right now in our culture and in the Church of Jesus Christ. I've already had conversations with multiple of you over the last several months because I believe that biblical forgiveness is being misrepresented in our culture and in the church like never before. So be careful. But I want to encourage you to ask questions and talk. The gospel is good news. It's good news of forgiveness and transformation that usually takes time to understand. Christ has come to give us freedom, but we have to learn how to walk in that freedom. Big difference between talking about freedom and forgiveness and learning how to exercise that and learning how to walk in that. I can't say this. Please hear me. If you're sitting here this morning, I want to affirm, regardless of what your church background is, hatred, resentment, and bitterness are not, I repeat, they are not the good news of the gospel. Some of the nastiest people, most bitter, resentful people that I have been exposed to are church-attending people. Now look at me. We have to own that. And we have to fight to forgive them and to walk in freedom. Because this is not the kind of church family. We're not called to walk in that. Is this whole concept of forgiveness easy and simple? No way. It is absolutely a dependence area. It's an area where we have to be coming daily and saying, just like what it says, God, you have forgiven me my debts. God, help me to forgive others. Our heavenly citizenship is made available to us through forgiveness. I don't know, some of you, you may have heard this song. I don't know. I sang it to my wife. But I love when I'm meditating on things and God pulls something from the vault that I didn't even know was there. And I've been singing this little ditty all week long. It goes like this. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And the gospel is us passing that along to people that are just as undeserving as we are. So, Father, I just confess I need your help today. Getting even and keeping score is way more natural to me than walking the way that you've asked me to. So I need your help to forgive and to live in freedom. Father, I don't know what this truth means across the board to everybody this morning, but I'm asking by your Spirit that you would open our hearts, that we'd respond to you. And I ask in the name of Jesus, by the blood that was shed, he's your son, we believe in him, that you would remove wrath and anger and bitterness and resentment and division from our lives individually and from this body, and that you would please, Father, be patient with us and continue to teach us how to love one another deeply, how to be unified in the gospel message of your Son and what your Spirit is trying to accomplish in us. And Father, we want to be proclaimers of your forgiveness in a dark world. And so for us to do that, God, we are dependent on you. We need your help. So help us daily to come to you and be reminded that this opportunity of family that we are able to experience is because you have offered us forgiveness and you allow us to walk in it. So help us to pass it on. We ask in your Son's precious name, because of his blood, his sacrifice. He even said, forgive them, Father. They don't have a clue. So help us to meditate on that today. Amen.